Okay, so we had discussed last time the notion of Kiddush B'Makom Suda. We talked a little bit about whether it could be called Daraisa on any level, or is it perhaps Drabanan, and about the question of whether it could be understood as a din in the Kiddush or a din in the Suda. Rav Tzvi Kushelevsky, in the shiurim we referenced last week, the Shari Bina, where he talks about the whole notion of Kiddush. So he assumes that one application would be the question of whether we go L'chumrah or not in some of the issues that come up in Kiddush B'Makom Suda. So, for example, how rigid is the definition of Makom as far as how we're defining what's included in the place? Or let's say if somebody is able to hear from where they are, the Mekadesh is in one place, and somebody has the Suda in an adjacent location, and they're able to hear the Kiddush from there, whether that counts for them or not, subject to a dispute in the Rishonim. So he thought that if we assume it's Min HaTorah, so then we have to take a Machmir stance, while if we assume it's Midrabanan, so then that gives us a little bit more latitude. I would probably wonder if we could move the parameters of that a little bit for two reasons. Because first, if we're going to say it's Min HaTorah, so as we noted, it's hard to say that it's Min HaTorah without either looking at it Midivrei Kabbalah, which brings in the question of how you treat Tzvekos in that area. We've talked about that a little bit. Or if we want to say that it's Drabanan, and the Drabanan is so crucial that it redefines the mitzvah Min HaTorah, so while there is room to say that, as we've seen, but that would presumably require us really to have a Safek Lekula attitude still by the Din Drabanan. It doesn't mean that just because this is actually a Safek the Prima Gaon brought up in a different area of Halacha, that if you want to say that Drabanan redefines the mitzvah Min HaTorah, would that mean that Sveiko L'chumrah? So presumably not. Presumably the Safek of a Drabanan is still Lekula, even if the application to the Din Min HaTorah becomes crucial. So it's going to be very hard to say that it's both Min HaTorah and Sveiko L'chumrah without really going to the definition of Kiddush. We would have to say that that really goes to the core definition of what Zachar Som HaShabbos L'Kadsho means. And what we're saying is that one way or another, the issue is going to be less whether it's Min HaTorah or Drabanan, and more what would that fact itself signify. That the question really is, what are we looking for with Kiddush B'Makom Suda? Are we looking to enhance the Kiddush? Are we looking to define Zechira in the most perfect way? And we would have to conceptualize it in some way that understands it to be crucial and rigidly defined in terms of one place. So that's something that really needs a little bit more explanation. But the question of whether it's about the Kiddush or about the Suda is still an interesting one, as we've seen. And the few other possible applications, as Rav Tzvi Kushelevsky also notes there. So one topic that was also a debate in the Rishonim, if you had a chance to see, was in some of the sources this morning. But the question of Tosfos raises on Daf Kuf, and the Gemara talks about a little bit later, the question of if you have a Friday afternoon Suda and you discover Shabbos starting in the middle of the Suda, so how can we salvage the Kiddush Suda relationship? So some of the Rishonim maintain that it's possible to make Kiddush at the very end of the meal and have that Kiddush then count and be followed by benching with Ritzei, and boom, you have Kiddush Makom Suda. While others did not accept that and assumed that you would have to bench first and then make Kiddush after the Suda. So the notion of whether you can count a Suda for the purposes of Kiddush, when really the Suda has all happened before the Kiddush, that's what's at stake here. And what the issue seems to be is that if we're defining it as for the purposes of Kiddush, let's say the second language in the Rashbam, that the Kiddush should presumably be on the chash of a wine, that's associated with the Suda. So then maybe it's possible to still have that at the end of the Suda, even though you've done all the eating already, but the Kiddush is still associated with that Suda. So then perhaps that's where that idea comes from. But if we say that the Suda needs Kiddush in order for it to be defined as a Suda Shabbos, so then that perhaps requires us to actually have the Suda after having recited Kiddush. Now, it's a little tricky because we could compare it to Ritzei, like we mentioned the other day, that Ritzei is crucial for the meals when the meal is crucial, because Ritzei comes to label it as a Suda Shabbos, but that happens after the whole meal is over. So the idea that Kiddush can't do the same thing requires a little bit more exploration. It could be that we need the Suda to take place with the awareness of Shabbos beforehand. So if you don't have the Kiddush recited beforehand, so then you're not going to be able to credibly claim that this Suda was done for the context of Shabbos. Now, one could say also, so what about the other meals of Shabbos, which don't necessarily have a Kiddush before them? So is that a problem for those meals? So on the one hand, you could say no, because once the Kiddush was at the beginning of Shabbos, so now that sets the tone for all of Shabbos. You don't have to have a new Kiddush for every meal. But it is interesting that the Rambam does say that one should have wine at every meal, not necessarily Kiddush, but one should have wine at all the meals of Shabbos. And we discussed last week the Chassam Sofer, who also noted that theoretically it would be appropriate to have Kiddush even for Shal Shudas too. So perhaps there is something to consider as far as that's concerned. Rabbeinu Yonah, for his part, Rabbeinu Yonah and Brachos, he doesn't understand what would be the point that Kiddush or the other meals of Kiddush is really about the beginning of the day. So here again, this perhaps reflects different understandings of what the Kiddush Suda association is about. This also addresses the question of, or impacts the question of, let's say you have somebody who's not going to be eating on Shabbos, either because he's a chola who doesn't feel he's able to eat, or maybe he's under a tainus chalom. He had a bad dream, so he took a commitment not to eat that Shabbos. So can you fulfill Kiddush Makom Suda without a meal? Or can you fulfill Kiddush without a meal? So the Meiri said, yeah. The Meiri said that if you're not able to have the Suda, so then Kiddush still exists without the Makom Suda. And interestingly, the Ran disagrees. The Ran says that you're just not going to have a kiyum of Kiddush without the Makom Suda. So it seems to revolve around the same issue here. Is Kiddush for the purposes of the Suda? Or is Suda for the purposes of Kiddush? If Kiddush is for the purpose of the Suda, or Kiddush Makom Suda is for the purpose of the Suda, so then if you don't have the Suda for whatever legitimate reason, so then Kiddush should still exist by itself. But if you need to have the Suda for the Kiddush's purposes, so then the Kiddush might be fundamentally flawed without it, in the spirit of B'makom Kriya Sham Tehei Oneg, in the place where you declare Shabbos, you have to have the Oneg there. If you don't have the Oneg, so then maybe there is something that is fundamentally flawed about the Kiddush itself. Now again, to say it's flawed Min HaTorah, that would be a bigger jump, but maybe at least on a level midrabanan, maybe it's flawed in that sense. Okay, so far so good. Everybody with me? Okay, so with that, so let's now try to consider the minig that many shuls have bezman hazeh to continue reciting Kiddush Friday night, despite the fact that they probably don't have individuals who are actually having their su'uda in the shul. So how do we relate to that idea? Why should there continue to be Kiddush recited in shul if there isn't any meal there? So the truth is, there were those who objected. Right, we saw a little bit of a taste of that. We saw that Rishonim already discussed it in the context of the Rush and Rabbeinu Yonah. Right, so we saw that was invoked in trying to figure out whether Kiddush Makom Suda is Menat Torah or not. And in that context, Rabbeinu Yonah was explaining that it makes sense to make Kiddush in Shul because Kiddush Makom Suda is an Asmachta and therefore not Ma'akev. So if you could at least give them Kiddush Alakos without the Suda, you're accomplishing something. Somebody who might be visiting the shul, or even somebody who might be a resident, but is not necessarily going to make Kiddush at home. But the Rush disagreed, and we talked about whether that's because the Rush feels the Kiddush Makom Suda is D'oraisa, the way Rabbi Akiva Eiger understood. Or perhaps like others understood, no, not that that's D'oraisa per se, but that actually maybe he agrees with the Magen Avraham that you're ready Yotzei D'oraisa just by davening. It's just the question of what do you gain with a Kiddush Ahakos that's not B'makom Suda. Maybe that's all a part of one Takana. So indeed, if you look in the Tur and the Shulchan Aruch, so they recommend getting rid of it. That to say, there is no purpose to recite in Kiddush anymore when you don't have a suda there, you don't have people eating. So therefore, their understanding is that you shouldn't make Kiddush in Shul. And the Mechaber wrote that was the minhag in Eretz Yisrael, that in the Eretz HaTzvi, in the land of Israel, they don't have Kiddush being recited in Shul anymore. However, clearly there is a minig that differs in many places. And it's not assumed to be a mistaken minig, but a valid minig that exists in a broad swath of communities. The Aruch HaShulchan writes that it's mostly Ashkenazi communities where they have this. But there are many poskim who write that even if you find the language in the Sridi Eish, for example, and the Rosh Dornbach has a tshuva like that, where he writes that even though they themselves don't have Kiddush in their own congregations on Friday night, but he said a shul where they have that should continue because it is a valid time-honored process, and therefore it should continue if that's the minig. And I saw recently that even in places where over the past year, so because of COVID, so many shuls first weren't meeting at all, and then they started meeting slowly. But even when we were meeting, and now more so, but even when we were meeting at the more in-between stages of the whole COVID situation, so it was very often the case that you'd have a Friday night minyan that would not have Kiddush, either because not in shul, maybe it's an outdoor minyan, or even the shul's own minyan would still not want to make Kiddush because of the sharing of food and aspects like that. So during this tekufa, so many shuls were not making Kiddush. So the question came up, okay, so now if we're bringing things back and we're going back to normal, Baruch Hashem, to the extent that we can, so maybe she'll leave Kiddush alone, so that don't necessarily bring back Kiddush if it's not something that we can explain based on need, and we got away for a few months without having it. So maybe not, but Rav Schachter reportedly responded that no, that the places that do have Kiddush Friday night should go back to making Kiddush Friday night as they restore normal practices. And again, the idea that this is a minig that is honored even by those who don't practice it is a notion that we find. One exception of Rabbi Shlush was the chief rabbi of Netanya, and his tshuva is Chem de Genuza. So he has a tshuva where he discourages anybody making Kiddush and Shul Friday night. But for the most part, we see here a legitimate difference in Minhagim, but including the defense of many of those who don't make Kiddush in their own congregations, defend it in the congregations where it is the practice. So how could we explain this? Right, if indeed the situation is not what the Gemara describes anymore, if we don't anymore have people eating meals in shul, so why would it be that we would still continue making Kiddush in shul Friday night? Any thoughts? Want to take a stab at it? Why do you think this would still be the case, even if it no longer corresponds to what the Gemara describes? Levi, is that a hand? Yeah?
Don't duck on a stick, just when they're made.
Okay, so there is an approach like that. That's certainly how some understand that this is not the only example of something that was enacted and continues. Sorry?
With Muggy and Avos.
Ah, okay, exactly. So there are some who compare it to Muggy and Avos. Right, that there are a number of institutions that we have that were there because of practices that no longer line up, but we still keep it. So yes, indeed, Magen Avos is one such example. That's how some of the Rishonim bring that the idea of this abbreviated Shmona Esrei after the Shmona Esrei Friday night. So if we can still do that, so we can still make Kiddush as well. Any other possible examples that seem similar to that? So maybe Chazaras HaShatz itself, which Magen Avos kind of replaces. We don't have it from Ma'ariv anyway. But Chazaras HaShatz that we have, Shachar Semincha, so that was there in order to help somebody be Yotzei if they're not Baki. And nowadays we have Sidurim, and we don't necessarily assume that the congregation is using the Chazaras HaShatz in order to daven for themselves personally. And yet, it endures. So that idea is already interesting, right? Because then what you're saying is that it's not that they just happened to make Kiddush and Shul because they had guests there. That the Kiddush was connected to the guests, that we know from the Gemara, but apparently they made a takana that, okay, we should all make Kiddush and Shul Friday night in order to help any potential guests. And apparently, according to this view, it was enacted more across the board, regardless of how it corresponds to actual need, which is an interesting idea. Now, clearly, those who discourage it are not assuming like that, but the idea that that was the perception of how it got started, that's an interesting possible idea. So certainly you do have those who maintain that way, that it's just simply a ongoing takana, and it doesn't get affected by how and where it continues to apply in its original reasoning. Any other suggestions? There are a few other possible approaches. Ari?
I think you could say that fundamentally, like at the initial decree, they made this decree that acknowledging that there might not be person present, that you should still make Kiddush and Shul on the possibility that there might be Orachim there, that it's relevant. And by continuation of that same logic, nowadays when there is no Orachim present, well, that was the same circumstance that they made the Takana in the first place in some places, so it's still applicable.
Right, yeah, that I think would be the same idea, basically, that the notion that they made it as a general policy, not because of a specific response to whatever was going on in that shul, but a general takana would seem to be that kind of an idea, that we just set up this policy and that's the way it is, which is definitely something to think about what the implications of that would be. And we'll come back to that. But just to mention a few other possibilities, so along the lines of Rabbeinu Yonah, there are some who say that, yes, it's true in Kiddush and Makom Suda, but L'maisa, if you don't have the Suda, so then you should still get something. There's still something to be accomplished. That was what Rabbeinu Yonah's view in the Rush was, that it's not ma'akev, it's only an asmachta, it's not a part of the din min haTorah. So you still can accomplish something even without the Makom Suda. And you find that in some other sources, some earlier sources and some later sources. So in some of the collections of the writings of the Gaonim, they quote from Rav Haigon like that, that B'Shas HaDchak, there is Kiddush Rav Makom Suda. And later, the Mishkanos Yaakov, Rabbi Yaakov of Karlin, in his Shuvas and Simon Kovav, so he also understands like that if you don't have the Makom Suda, so you're missing that, and that's a shame, but it's still Kiddush without it. There's still Kiddush on some level that is worth reciting. So that's essentially the same question that we already saw being argued out between the Rush and Rabbeinu Yonah, but that's also what the earlier and later Svarim are also discussing. Essentially, you know, is there anything there without the Makom Suda? And if there is, we might as well try to provide that for whoever might be benefiting from it. It's also related to the issue we mentioned earlier today, the question of a chola, or somebody who's not having a Suda otherwise. So is there any value to making Kiddush at all for them? So do we say that, no, it's only Makom Suda, and without that, there isn't anything? Or do we say, no, that is there in order to help Kiddush, but if you're not going to have that, so then Kiddush should still exist on its own. And that was the view of Mishkanos Yaakov over there in that context, seems to be. And here it's the same idea, that there is some value to this Kiddush, and if this might be the only thing that someone in the shul might get, so then it's worth reciting that Kiddush on their behalf. And hi, Ari.
Even if you're not being mostly other people, isn't the person reciting Kiddush and drinking from the coast, if it's like somewhat of a pseudo according to the Gaonim, like, isn't that fulfilling Kiddush for him? So what's the detriments in performing Kiddush
Ashul? Okay, so according to the Gaon, it's an interesting point. So there, they would have to drink a revius of wine, which is not normally what we do. Now, it could be there are some places that do that, and there are some situations where that's the best advice. But as a matter of normal course, that's not what we're doing. We're not actually drinking at all. The one making the Kiddush is usually giving it to a child, as we'll mention a little bit more about it in a minute, and as we mentioned before. But normally the one making Kiddush is not drinking wine at all. Theoretically, if one had a need to be Yotze in that Kiddush and Shul, and he had enough wine, and he was ready to drink enough wine, he had the wine, but he was ready to drink enough wine, so then he could theoretically use that wine as Makom Suda, according to that view. But that's not the basic presumption of what we're doing. The Tshuvas Min HaShamayim, it's interesting, the Tshuvas Min HaShamayim, the title indicates that all the Tshuvas come from heaven, because they were written down as a result of dreams that the Mechaber had. The Mechaber had the dreams of what the Halacha was, and he wrote them down in these Tshuvas Min HaShamayim. So perhaps that's a little bit connected to his position, said that it's worth making Kiddush in Shul because maybe there are people who wouldn't make Kiddush at home, but when they see Kiddush in Shul, they'll be inspired to make it at home. So yes, they need to make Kiddush at home, but they will get the inspiration and the instruction to do that based on the Kiddush in Shul. So the idea of dreams being inspiration and being something to aspire to, so perhaps it's especially appropriate that it's the Tshuvas Min HaShamayim who advocates this particular aspect of it. It's also interesting that there are some who suggest, like the Abudram and the Or Zarua, that this is a set takana for a different reason. Not only to be motzi people who wouldn't otherwise hear Kiddush or who might be eating in shul, but there's a different aspect. I'll give you a second to see if you can see where he's going. He compares it to something else that we have at a specific time throughout the year, which is also raises some interesting comparable issues. a practice which we normally also assume has to take place in our houses. And yet, nonetheless, we do it in shul anyway. And it's not enough to save us from our obligation of doing it at home. Levi, did you?
Abdullah?
Close. Abdullah, actually, you could possibly be yotze in shul. Whether or not that's ideal, but something more limited to a certain part of the year.
Sphira
is actually an interesting question also. Sphira may have some elements of that. And so these are good guesses. That's actually not what we're looking for. But shorter than Sphira also involve numbers that build on each other for, let's say, about 8 days long. Chanukah candles, right? So the practice of lighting Chanukah candles in shul has a lot in common with this. Chanukah candles in shul, very interesting. That is a minig that's not in the Gemara, developed later, but it developed with such authority that we are comfortable making a bracha on that. That's a whole discussion in the Shulchan Aruch, who isn't even comfortable with making a bracha on Halal and Rosh Chodesh, but still agrees you should make a bracha on the Chanukah candles in shul. And that's its own fascinating discussion, and there is a lot in common between the two. And there are some who suggest that that's the way it developed, whether by minig or by takana, but again, probably a pretty strong minig, certainly in the sense of Chanukah candles, and maybe we're seeing in terms of Kiddush as well, that the decision was there should be a public version and a private version, that even though the mitzvah requires either the table or the household is something that really is fulfilled on an individual private household level, but nonetheless, there should also be a public version. So the idea that Kiddush should be declared at the public gathering in shul, and that the candles should be lit in the shul on Chanukah. So perhaps there's a common aspect there that both of them, there's a home game and a public game. But here the public one is secondary to the home version, that this is a way of giving extra pirsum, that they're both ideas which we also want to publicize specifically. So to take advantage of the more public setting, they developed this practice. Now, it's interesting to note the idea of Kiddush as publicity is also a discussion that the Gemara seems to suggest that if you want to specifically put these two things up against each other, so the Gemara discusses what happens if somebody doesn't have enough resources to light Chanukah candles and to light Shabbos candles, and then also Kiddush and Chanukah candles. So in the context of that discussion, the Gemara highlights that, no pun intended, that the importance of Chanukah candles comes from the fact that it's Pirsume Nisa, which is a topic we spoke about in the beginning of Arvei Pesachim and the whole basis of Dalet Kosos and Pirsume Nisa and how that gives a severity to the din. So this is another example of Pirsume Nisa being treated as a important extra aspect, so that's a reason to prioritize Chanukah candles over other things, theoretically. So the question comes up, so maybe Kiddush also should be looked at that way, that maybe Kiddush also has a Pirsume Nisa aspect to it, because it's about creation. We are declaring the creation of the world, and we want to make that known as well. So the idea of there being a publicity aspect, and therefore maybe we would also want to take advantage of this opportunity to make it public, is also interesting. Rav Kook also had a tshuva to add to the list of those who didn't do it but supported it where it was done. So Rav Kook writing in Eretz Yisrael, where as we saw from the Shulchan Aruch already, the minig is not to do it there. But Rav Kook did discuss the possible justifications of the practice in shul, and he noted that it could have a value in terms of getting the tzibur to love Shabbos, to make this public announcement for Shabbos along the lines of what we said a minute ago, but also a public announcement of the love for Shabbos and how seriously and how much we cherish this concept. And that has its own value, which he writes could justify the practice, so especially for the children. Especially that they should see that this is something that is a big ceremony in shul. He sees a value in that. So that's also interesting, especially the idea that it has some kind of a chinuch component to it. And it also could address the question we mentioned a little bit before. There is a discussion in the Mefarshim, how is it, in the commentaries on Shulchan Aruch and elsewhere, that since the practice when Kiddush is recited in Shul, the Mekadesh doesn't drink, because, like we mentioned before, he's not being Yotzei, his own Kiddush then, so he shouldn't be eating or drinking anything. So usually the practice is to give it to a katan. That was also one of the complications of COVID, because for a while we weren't allowing kids in Shul, even when Shuls were open. So if you have little kids, so to give the wine to them is one of the preferred approaches. So the Mefarshim, Poskim discuss, how is that okay? Because if the adult's not supposed to drink it, so normally the adult should not be providing, so to speak, non-kosher food to children. So there are various approaches as to why this isn't in that category. But a part of it is also, if it's for the benefit of the child, that is one of the details that helps. If we understand this as being some kind of a chinuch purpose, that this is about helping the child appreciate the chashivas of Shabbos, so it's kilu, the kiddush is on behalf of the child, so it's okay that he should be the one to partake of the wine that is used for this kiddush. So these are among the many suggestions that you find to explain and to support this practice. I think we can kind of put them all together into one basic approach. That if we say that this is a minig, right, that is separate from what the Gemara discussed when it was practically relevant. So now it is a minig that has kind of been reborn and is still supported in its continuation. Or maybe all the more so if we say that it's a takana from the very beginning, but the takana was separate from whether the metzias continues to require it or not. So they both point in the same direction, that this was something that either as a point of minig or as a point of takana we want to have in the shul, that's A. And we think about the various aspects that connect to that. Either it's because there were aniyim eating in the shul, and we want to help for their suda, they should have a kiddush. Or maybe it's for people who are maybe spiritually ani, that they're not going to make kiddush at home, so they happen to be in shul now, but they're not going to make their own kiddush, so we want to give them whatever kiyum of kiddush we can, whether it's kiddush b'nai Torah, or kiddush b'shas hatzchak, or kiddush on some level. Or it could also be any combination of factors why they may not be reciting Kiddush. So essentially, there's this minig to recite Kiddush, or a takana to recite Kiddush, in order to help people, in order to help people spiritually, maybe in order to help people physically, in that it's associated with providing sudos in the shul. And the fact that this endures out of Yom HaZeh, in the places where it does, is a reminder of the role of the shul. That we want the shul to be a place that is there to help the needs of the kehila, both the spiritual needs and the physical needs. So Kiddush recited in the shul represents both. It reminds us of how we're trying to help whoever should be there fulfill mitzvot on whatever level they can, even if it's maybe not complete or perfect. And also maybe connected to physical sustenance, the fact that there are meals taking place in the shul in order to provide for those who may not otherwise have. So one way or another, this recitation helps to remind us of what the shul is there for, that the shul is there to help the people spiritually and physically. And that's a crucially important message, and maybe one that we appreciate even more after so much time apart through COVID. So the idea that the shul is supposed to serve that role is a very crucial concept, and perhaps this process endures in order to keep us focused on that. So just to quickly, Chazer, we spoke about today, we spoke a little bit about the question of whether we should say Safik L'chumra by Kiddush Makom Suda. We went through some angles of that. We talked about the Machlokas Rishonim, whether you could have Kiddush at the very end of a meal, right before we'd say, and that should count. We talked about whether there's an Indian to have wine at all the meals of Shabbos. We talked about the Machlokas Rishonim. What if you have somebody who's not reciting Kiddush because he is not going to have a Suda, rather, either because he's sick or because of a Tainus Cholam or whatever it is. Is there still an Inyan to make Kiddush? And then we talked about this question of why the practice endures to continue making Kiddush in Shul and even to be restarted for those who did it before COVID and are now bringing things back. To go back to making Kiddush after it's been paused. And we noted that they were among the Rishonim who questioned this, and the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch said not to make Kiddush if we're not going to have people in Shul to eat. Discuss the possibility that maybe it's an ongoing takana along the spirit of Magen Avos or Chazar Sashat, which is self-interesting. We talked about the view that we saw already from Rabbeinu Yonah, that it's still something, so better to have something rather than nothing. And like Rav Haigon and the Mishkanos Yaakov also seem to assume. We talked about the Tshuvas Min HaShemayim, that we might inspire somebody who wouldn't otherwise make Kiddush because he sees it being recited in Shul. And then we talked about the view of the Ur Zoruah and the Upper Drum, that it's like Hanukkah candles in Shul. It's meant to be a public version on top of the private version, and the Rav Kook, who noted its value in making people appreciate Shabbos, especially children, and we talked about how the possible chinuch benefit could also explain why we're comfortable giving it to children in shul to drink from. And then we said, to bring it all together, that we see that various theories all could be encapsulated in one idea, that the shul is supposed to be a place of providing both spiritual and physical needs for the people in the community. And all of the different theories as to why Kiddush should be recited in shul connect to one or more of those elements, either of providing mitzvahs or of even providing actual meals for people in shul. And we don't want to forget that that's what the shul does. We don't want that to slip our minds, especially under circumstances like this past year when that's been challenged. So to be able to have that emphasized and re-emphasized in the shul on a Friday night is its own powerful message. Okay, so Bez Hashem, at least I think probably one more day of Kiddush tomorrow with some additional points to consider, and then we'll take it from there. But I wish everyone should have an inspiring and elevated and sanctified day. Yom Rishon Sheni B'Shabbos, and should be only good things. And we'll see you soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.